It's Monday, January 18th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, I'm here in Florida. I got a great show for you. It's a little later getting started than I normally do, but strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Jacksonville, Florida, via my portable podcasting studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Of course, check out the archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website at Geek News Central. Of course, we want to get you signed up for our newsletter. Our newsletter contains everything I'm going to cover in the show tonight. That newsletter is delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. We don't spam you or try to pimp you for anything else through that email list. Your privacy is completely guaranteed, never to be sold to anyone else. So sign up for the newsletter today and stay abreast of what's happening here at Geek News Central. Of course, if you're listening to this show via a BlackBerry, an iPhone, a Zoom, whatever it may be, encourage others that you know to come over to Geek News Central and sign up. Basically, get subscribed to the show. You'll find links to Zoom, iTunes, and so forth on the main website. Of course, there's a link to our RSS feeds as well so that you can subscribe to the show. Now, there's several ways. You can subscribe to audio only. You can get video and audio, so that's an option. But I always recommend everyone get the audio as your primary download. That's because that's when the show is quick put out the fastest. Normally it takes me a few hours to get the video put up, but if you want the latest and greatest, get subscribed to the audio feed. Those of you that have been following the Geek News Central website over the past week will know that we're starting to shovel in all the CES 2010 content, and that is only being fed right now down the special media feed. So you'll find a link to the special media feed on the website. Get subscribed to that, and you'll get all of the content delivered directly to your media player or device. And really, those media files aren't that big. They're 50, 60 megs apiece. This audio show runs just about the same, but you'll be able to review those videos at will when you want to, or you can just come over to the website and watch via the stream flash stream player that's on the website as an option. Well, I tell you, over the weekend, before I got ready to fly out to Jacksonville, I was really trying to crank through as much of the video editing as possible. I think I'd got 121 videos edited, compressed, and actually put up onto Blip. Not all of those are actually have been turned on and made public yet, because we need to go in and edit them. But really what I found is I finally took the time to learn compressor in Final Cut. And really from about Thursday evening until Sunday, the compressor was running 24/7 on my Mac Pro, all 8 cores crank. Actually, it's a quad core machine, but the compressor only used 8 of the 16 cores to compress the videos. And what I was able to do was all of the videos that have been now pushed to Blip ever since I got back in Hawaii are all in 720p. So you get good HD quality. Those are being also simulcast over on YouTube as well, my channel on YouTube. And then what comes into your actual special media feed, for those of you that subscribe to that, is really media that's set up to be consumed on a mobile media device. Maximum resolution on those, I believe, is 640 by 360, which keeps the 16:9 ratio. And so with compressor, what I was able to do was in each video, I just set up a different profile, one for what I wanted to come out to be put on Blip as HD, and the other was what I was going to actually push to those of you subscribed to the special media feed for your iPhones and your Zooms and so forth. But that strategy has, I think, really paid off. So really, there was a double compression or double rendering on each video that I did. I've got all the way through, let's see here, Friday, the end of business on Friday at CES. All that content is really packaged, and now we're just starting to push it in the website. You'll see 3 to 4, maybe even 5 videos a day going up on Geek News Central. Now, people ask me, Todd, how come you just don't shovel them all in at once so that we get everything? Part of it is because of our sponsor. We want to definitely maximize downloads and views of all that content, so I want to give everything good front page time, take the time to do the SEO, making sure the articles are written up correctly. So 3 to 5 videos a day will go into the RSS feed. Those of you on Zoom or even on iTunes, the default setting for those applications is only to download the last 3 shows. I had gotten an email from one of the listeners of the show we'll talk about a little later saying, hey, Todd, you know, why are you doing that? It's going to fill my media player up. And again, it's going to be 120 great content interviews of different products and services that you may be interested in. So we hope that, or at least that's what's been processed so far. And again, just a few every day. So it allows you to manage that at an easy clip. So, yeah, pretty excited about having gotten all that done. That means my time here in Jacksonville can be more spent doing things I need to do for Raw Voice and what we have going on. I was working on several insertion orders before the show tonight because we've got some ad deals cooking. So that was one of the things that I had rolling here. But it's kind of funny. I flew into Jacksonville this morning, got in at about 10, did not sleep at all on my flight out. And I got back to the hotel and got checked in. They let me check in early. And I said, well, I've been trying to take a 2 to 3 hour nap on these after I don't get much sleep on flights. So I said, okay, set the alarm clock. 10:30, I'll wake up at 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. So I set it for 1:30. Apparently, the alarm clock that I have in this room was set for a.m., and I set for a p.m. wake-up. It was I woke up at 5:30, so I will probably be up all night. And, you know, it's just one of those things that happens when you travel, and I just didn't even really pay attention to it. Shame on me, but that's the way the ball bounces here. So, obviously, you've been seeing a lot of the content on the website. That's good. And, of course, I want to welcome all the new Zune listeners and watchers, because I know that we had a huge, huge uptick of Zune subscriptions during our time at Vegas. I want to thank Rob Greenlee over there on the Zune team. Him and I had a private conversation on basically who was the winners in subscriptions. And while I'm not really allowed to disclose how we did as compared to Twit, CNET, of course, the tech podcast content that we were part of, and Revision 3 and some others, I will say that we were not at the bottom of the pile. We did very, very well. I'm pretty ecstatic about that, and I'm sure you'll be as well. But I want to welcome all those new Zoom listeners. Now, it's too bad the folks over at the iPhone and the iTunes store would not have highlighted some of the shows during CES. But, you know, Apple being Apple, they do what they do for their own reasons. Okay, I did try tonight. I wanted to share with this with you that maybe looking at some new podcasting gear. I did try a Audio Technica. Basically, it's a little mini wireless microphone. And pretty pricey little devil. And as I was messing with it here, the audio, it's a condenser mic, so it requires phantom power. And usually the challenge in hotel rooms with phantom power are mics that are powered by phantom power is if the room is not at all completely quiet, you can get a hum through here. Now, because I'm using 2 laptops relatively close to me, this was picking up a basically a shh. You could hear the fan noise through this. So sadly, this is not going to be able to replace this headset for my on-the-road dealing. So the hunt continues to find a little better setup so I can consolidate some of the gear that I'm traveling with. But I'm sure I'll be able to use that in different times. typical situation here in a hotel. Hotel bandwidth sucks. We'll be in pushing the stream today via Verizon eVideo. So Verizon's taking care of the stream today, pushing that up. And for those of you that are curious, it's about 300 megs to push the hour and 15-minute show to you via the Verizon connection. I tried to see if the Sprint WiMAX was working here in Jacksonville. No Sprint WiMAX. I brought my clear box with me as well. There's no clear channel, or no clear WiMAX signal as well. So I got pretty spoiled there in Vegas with the WiMAX connectivity, and it just goes to show that we're still a long ways away from getting the rest of the country wired. This is a pretty big community. So I'm going to be traveling with these devices wherever I travel this year, and we'll be letting you know about rollout and speeds. But we're right back tonight. The hotel bandwidth sucks. I mean, it just is horrible. You know, once again, I'm in a Hilton Homewood Suites, and the last one did pretty good, but this one was just blew it. Their bandwidth isn't any good. Let's take care of a little business here so we can pay for the show. And, of course, I want all of you to really take a consideration tonight. I'm actually going to cover something in an article I found tonight that's going to talk about user-generated content a little bit. But this show is completely supported. And my lifestyle and being able to travel and to do the things I do is completely supported by new media. And it wouldn't be possible without the sponsors. And I know that they're are well over 135,000 of you that are subscribed to this show. And because of that, your utilization of our sponsors' products really keeps the lights on here. So when you're thinking about domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, when it comes to getting online, really the only solution that I recommend is GoDaddy at GoDaddy.com. They've been a longtime sponsor here of the show. They've got a great lineup of products and services. All of Geek News Central's content is served up and provided by, I pay for my service at GoDaddy. But the servers are really the backbone of everything that I do. And for now, going on 5 years, they've held up and done very well. So true testament to their products and services. Of course, I wholly endorse their shared hosting accounts as well, which many of you have picked up. Whatever product may be that you're looking to get, hey, when you get to the checkout counter at GoDaddy, don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central by picking up a domain name or a server or a virtual dedicated server. Use our promo code TODD. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. The code TODD20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And, of course, ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49. Share those codes with your friends and family, people that you know. That helps keep the lights on here at Geek News Central, and we definitely appreciate it. Along with that, longtime sponsor GoToMeeting, and really this is a tool that I use every single day. Today was no exception to that. We were actually working with two vendors on some insertion orders, and we actually basically kind of launched a little whiteboard and had some conversations via the voice IP interface. Worked out really well. And, you know, in this challenge economy, really companies of all sizes need to find new ways to cut costs. And you know, Raw Voice is a small company. There's five of us that are on the board, and then there are we have support staff as well. But every dollar saved really helps the bottom line, and that's why I recommend GoToMeeting. An award-winning service brought to you by Citrix lets you meet online right from your computer. Stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your money. Meet clients and colleagues online instead of driving to their offices. Collaborate in real time online rather than flying cross-country. This trip, I was obviously flying cross-country, but I'm on a paid consulting gig with a company that I've done business through GoToMeeting before. So not only can you build revenue, you can actually pick up a business as well by using these tools. So I use GoToMeeting to reduce my travel costs when I'm in Honolulu and increase efficiency. You can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. And again, it's a tool that I use every day that I wholeheartedly stand behind and hope that you'll get a trial. Check it out. Use it. Tell me what you like about the product, what you don't like. And they're actually got some announcements coming out. I believe there's some increased capabilities for the Mac forthcoming, but I'll let you know when that is actually officially announced. Actually, that actually might even be on the Go to My PC product, but anyway, we'll talk about it when it's online. All right, the reason you guys have come to the show is obviously to listen to the content that I have for you, and I have a large amount of tech content tonight, a lot of stuff in the news. Let's go ahead and crank right into it. If you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. I want to welcome those of you on Ustream. Make sure you Twitter out that we're live right now. Send them the link to either geeknewscentral.com or the Twitter website. And Lamont, yes, it's I'm in June, and the weather in Florida is beautiful. I brought a light jacket. It worked out good. Now, whether I pay the piper later, I don't know. We will find out. Hey, let's start right off talking about the New York Times. New York Times are, I guess, within microseconds of introducing a paywall. And, you know, I don't subscribe to the New York Times. I do subscribe to the print version of the Wall Street Journal. But the question is, can we implement a paywall on a new newspaper site in 2010 and expect it to work? You know, it's you really have to sit back and think about it, because you know, where are we at? We're at a point in time right now where news content is available at a wide variety of sources. Obviously, a lot of content that's produced on the New York Times is, you know, rewritten and, you know, basically regurgitated across many sites across the Internet. So, you know, is this something that the New York Times has to do to survive? Or is this the last, you know, their last, basically their last call, their last hurrah to try to stay in business and generate revenue for the newspaper? As you remember, at one time the New York Times had a paywall. They basically eliminated the paywall because of, you know, non-utilization and, quite frankly, seeing their page views drop to their main website, because much of the content was basically behind that firewall you couldn't get to. So we'll see what happens here. The New York Times is considering a tiered model, membership model. So I'm sure those of you that subscribe to the New York Times may get a break on your online readership. But I don't know. We'll find out if this is going to succeed. Love to hear your guys' feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline, again, is +1-619-342-7365. And I do have someone that called in the hotline. We'll cover that at the end of the show, along with any comments that have been submitted. One thing that we were doing at CES, and one of the things that we went into, was a goal of measuring everything that we did to find out what our reach was, how many people retweeted our tweets. Everything that we did was really measured, not necessarily for a sponsor standpoint, but also for simply to find out how effective we were. And we did some paid reports. We're actually paid for certain keywords, and we're pretty happy that our tweet spear type of content was around 60,000. We reached around 60,000 people on those specific retweets, which isn't a huge number, but considering we had one primary person tweeting and just a couple of us retweeting, I think we did really well. That'll be just basically a benchmark for future years to set forth. But many of you are probably looking to monitor things that are going on Twitter. And the folks over at ResearchBuzz have come out with two or three different articles talking about tools that people are using. One of them is ListMonkey, and ListMonkey.com allows you to specify a Twitter list. You enter keywords for what you want to monitor on that list, and then specify an email address to which you want to get the results and how often you want to get the results, hourly, daily, etc. And it goes on to say it's possible to follow. This is right off the researchbuzz.org website. It says it's possible to follow a list and get all the tweets generated by not specifying any keywords, but the person that is doing this review didn't recommend that. He says you'll get lots of emails, lots of tweets, unless you choose your list very, very carefully. No registration involved. You have to confirm your email for each alert. But if you're looking for something specific about your company being talked to, this may be a way to do that with ListMonkey.com. The second service is called Twiangulate, T-W-I-A-N-G-U-L-A-T-E. I guess they're trying to say triangulate, but Twiangulate. You can follow who's following who on Twitter, and you may want to consider, you know, if you're trying to figure out who's following who. You know, there's millions of users sending out tens of millions of tweets, and you can basically get a little information on who's following who. And, you know, that if you're in a business that has a competitor that has a Twitter account, it may give you an idea how well your cross population is. So let's say you have a competing product and you want to see, okay, is user X following me? Do they have an interest in my product as well as my competitor's product or vice versa? So, and it also can go into like genealogy. So if you want to follow people that are following genealogy sites, might be a great way to connect with individuals, sorry for yawning here, that have some of the same interests that you may have that you may have not met in the past. But anyway, that website is T-W-I-A-N-G-U-L-A-T-E. Of course, all these links will be up in the show notes tonight that you can get via the newsletter or on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And the third thing I'm going to cover tonight on Twitter, and we'll move on from the Twitter topic here, is if you're really looking to trapping a lot of information on Twitter, you can do so with RowFeeder. RowFeeder at rowfeeder.com, you specify a term or a hashtag you want to track, then you pay. Well, you're supposed to pay, and it's $2.49 to monitor a term or tag for up to 48 hours. Now, that you know, can make it go cheap, broke pretty quick, but right now their pay part is broken. But I know for $20 a month, I'd like to follow, you know, get a report on, you know, 10 or 15 different keywords. Now, I wouldn't want to pay for a single word for $2.49 for 48 hours. But if you're doing an event and you're doing a specific hashtag, and that's what we did, is we actually paid for a report to follow the past 7 days of hashtags that we had up, and that's how we were able to get the great information we did, who was the most people retweeting, what the sphere of influence was, and so forth. And talk about that particular service in a later show. Annie McCaskey actually set that up from SDRnews.com. Got an email here from, not email, but a link on Scoble's website. Those of you that are Photoshop users, 20 years of Adobe Photoshop. On Friday, he had a meeting with one of the original founders who shipped Adobe Photoshop 20 years ago. And this is an 18-minute, 36-second video that you'll want to watch, because there's lots of juicy stuff in here about companies that were considering buying Adobe Photoshop that didn't, lost chances. It's one of those stories that make you go, You know, it's by, you know, having these small companies available that other companies could have bought and made a lot of money on and didn't. But Adobe next year, of course, is going to be, next month, is going to have an official celebration for 20 years of Photoshop. So we may see some, some discounts on Photoshop next month. So maybe you want, if you're thinking about buying an upgrade to Photoshop, maybe it's a good time to wait and see what Adobe comes out with next month. But a great article by Scoble, actually a great video interview by Scoble, have it linked up in the show notes. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is an article that's over on Dave Weiner's site. Sometimes Dave really is on the mark. Sometimes some of the stuff he publishes, I just want to just scream at. But he posted a article. It's entitled "Corporate Media is the Problem." And this was over a interview that he heard John Lanier, who was interviewed on NPR show on Point this week, talk about. He was promoting his new book, "You're Not a Gadget," which Dave has read. And really, it was a book that's really targeted towards mainstream media. But the marketing message in Lanier's discussion was to appeal to mainstream media, and how you know, basically mainstream media folks are, you know, patting themselves on the back and what they've accomplished. But you know what we have to realize here is, you know, corporate America is doing everything they can to bring themselves into Facebook, on trying to ensure that their message is at the top of the pile in Google. And, you know, sometimes that is can be troubling, because you want to have information from a corporation. You want it to be transparent. You want to be able to read stuff on a specific website. But at the same time, you want to find information out about corporations and products and so forth on your own. Or maybe you want to find out about an individual within a company and so forth. So Dave goes on to say that we all should be on the web, but we all need to be on the web in our own way. Basically, you know, many of you are on Facebook, but you don't have your own website. Why? Why are you on Facebook and yet don't have your own website? Why are you not building your own brand and getting your own message out? Many of you have biographies or entries on Wikipedia, but yet on Wikipedia, you're not allowed to essentially edit your own biography. And this is a challenge I've had for my listing on Wikipedia. It's woefully lacking. It's missing 90% of the stuff that I have done in the new media space. And so the question that Dave goes on to say, you should write your own biography and not delegate it to invisible masses on Wikipedia, which I agree completely. He goes on to say, you should write other people's biographies from your point of view, or at least tell the true tell true stories about them, which can be assembled by others into alternate views. And he says you should sign your name to all writing. Use your real name, the one on your driver's license, tax returns, passports, etc. And go on to say, if you care about a subject, write a piece on it that reflects your point of view. Don't settle for compromise, groupthink, sanitized versions in the form of a Wikipedia page. And he goes on finally to say, you should own your own domain name or set of domains and pay the registration fees yourself. I agree completely with this. You know, I live this every day. I do have a Twitter account, but pretty much everything that I write that's substantial is written on my blog, and it has, you know, my my byline or Geek News associated with it. I don't necessarily sign my name directly, which Dave recommends here. But everyone knows I go under the handle Geek News, and it can be considered my writing. So here's the question. Are you guys buying into, are you guys in group think tanks? Are you writing your own individual opinion pieces that can be found outside the firewall that can be associated with you? And it's something we all should consider as we move into the into 2010 in this, you know, this really we got an opportunity here to continue to make a difference. And if you're passionate about a subject, like, you know, go out there and record a podcast or put something up on YouTube or Blip or one of the video sites, and, you know, make your opinions heard. It is the power that we have today in this media to be able to do so, and to not do so, you're really, I think that you're not doing the community a favor. You need to get out there and make your opinions heard. Now, some will say, well, Todd, I'm not interested in doing that. I think what we have to be careful of is that if you don't and others don't on specific topics, then corporate media is going to have their way with us, and you're only going to hear their opinion or their formulated opinion. So anyway, that's kind of my 2 cents worth on that. Good article by Dave. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Hey, I want to remind you that Tech Podcast Network Weekly is still a weekly podcast being produced by content creators over at techpodcast.com. Weekly, the TPN Weekly is a podcast designed to get you introduced into new shows that you may not be currently listening to. And I'm subscribed to it, and I'm listening to a lot of these shows that I don't listen to on a regular basis just because I don't have time. And when we started the weekly, it was more designed to be like a 10-minute kind of a intro to a show. But what it's turned into, and recently here, okay, for example, the show that went up on the 17th, show number 40, Successful Job Search Results Using Technology. And this just goes into some, you know, some pretty cool stuff here if you're looking for a job to help you find a job. So this is a great weekly that was put together. And by one of our hosts over there. So definitely check out the weekly show over at techpodcast.com. All you really need to do is subscribe to the blog RSS feed, and then you'll get that stuff delivered in the iTunes or Zoom link on the website, and you'll get that show automatically. So make sure you do that over there. The week before was an article done by Simon Calder on to how to overcome email overload. He's in the Simon Says IT.com website, and he actually has a great number of products and services that he sells in addition to his podcast. All right, over on Robin Good's website, Google is now talking about starting to penalize PageRank on websites that load slow. And right now, Geek News Central is in kind of the situation where we're putting so much video on the content, the page loads are slower, largely because we're waiting for the flash embeds to load. So once we get past this big flux, we're going to really be looking at the site speed. So Robin Good's got a pretty good article here, and this is a two-parter. I'm going to link you up to part two on how to make your website faster, how to optimize your website code for speed. So, go through great suggestions here by Robin Good and his team of writers. Have this link for you in the show notes. All right, you heard about BarMax. It's a new iPhone app that's available on the iPhone App Store. It costs $1,000. No, this isn't an iPhone app that just has a picture of a gem on it. BarMax is an actual app for those that are studying for the bar, studying for the get their for the bar exam, and this is pretty cool. This is a basically test prep material. It's associated with a company called BarBree, which typically offer 3 to 4 thousand dollars is what it costs for gouging up for the bar exam. So this is a pretty cool application here for those of you that may be studying law or have someone that you know that's studying law. They can study for their bar exam when they're mobile for $1,000 from the App Store. Over on Doc Searle's weblog, he's got an article here. Can we have some first sources, please? And this is one thing that drives me crazy about stuff I see on the Internet. I read a real cool article on a website about a specific product or service, and then I cannot find the link. Either it's buried or doesn't exist at all back to the source article, and it just drives me nuts. These people try to pass this material off as original, and many times the content is very close to, I wouldn't say plagiarizing, but it comes close to being actual, just a complete ripoff of someone else's article. So, Doc Searles is, basically lambasting some folks over on Ars Technica and also on the BX Business Week about really having some articles on their website that really had, source material somewhere. And these were original articles, but he couldn't go back and find where the source material was. So, if you're writing blog posts, the best thing you can do is link back to the original source material. And that, not only does that look good upon you, but it also gives the site some recognition for their original work that you may be sourcing. So, again, don't plagiarize. We all know that. But anyway, a cool article by Doc Searles, and I agree completely. All right, challenge that I'm running into is an announcement by the FCC, where they have essentially announced eviction notices for wireless mics that operate in a certain frequency range. The FCC ordered prohibited the distribution of sale devices operating frequencies between 698 and 806 megahertz. And anyone using such devices in that band must leave the band within 6 months. And this ruling is going to cost me about $2,500. Yeah, I've got wireless devices that run in the 698 to 806 range, and that's $2,500 I wasn't planning on spending, because I can almost guarantee if I go to a major event 6 months from now and I'm transmitting in that 700 megahertz band, I'm sure someone is not going to be happy. So, does your church, does your business, does your boardroom, does any of your equipment operate between 698 and 806 megahertz? If it does, you've got 6 months to replace or move those devices off that frequency. Now, fortunately, the recent Sony wireless stuff that I purchased is below the 698 range, but my old Sony wireless stuff that I have that we actually use some of it at CES is in that 700 megahertz range. So I'm not real pleased, but what can you do? So I'm sure we'll just pay attention too. If you're getting ready to buy some wireless stuff, make sure you pay attention to the frequency range out there, okay? All right, using copper and electricity to scrub air of greenhouse gases. Apparently, some scientists have come up with a way to sequester carbon using a specific type of copper cable. It's called, one group of scientists found a certain dinuclear copper, that's a pretty big word, dinuclear copper that turns green when exposed to air on a slight electrical potential, and the potential is really small, negative 0.03 volts. At first, they assumed it was from the exposure to oxygen, but upon closer inspection, they learned that the particular form of copper was reacting with carbon dioxide. A few varieties of the same basic complex were able to spontaneously capture carbon dioxide, removing it from the atmosphere and reductively coupling it to the copper to form a tetranuclear copper complex with two oxalate groups. Okay, big words here. But essentially what's happened here is they have found a process to, you know, basically suck CO2 out of the atmosphere, have it attached to this copper wire. Then they have a way to actually clean the copper wire. And it sounds pretty evasive is what they're doing. And I don't know what the, you know, the levels of CO2 that they're actually removing here with this process, if this can be done on a large scale. But there is potential here. And so that's interesting. CO2 scrubbers for the Earth. Well, the way the green folks are going, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people looking to invest in this type of technology. But who knows, maybe half the country will be strung with copper wires, and we'll have to go out and clean those copper wires every 24 hours with this special solution to recapture CO2. You know how ridiculous that sounds. But it goes on to say that the numbers aren't trivial. And by the time the copper is processed that many mock, because a whole mess has to be processed twice before it can start over again and process more carbon dioxide. The rate, right now it's rate limited. And somebody, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to do it in a larger scale. So this is probably what's now is going to be put on top of every smokestack. Everything in the country will have to run through these grids of a special copper to capture the CO2 as it's being expelled out of smokestacks. We all laugh, but you just watch. All right, U.S. broadband average speed, 3.9 megabits per second. Wow. This was a speed that was done. A report from Akamai shows that the U.S. is trailing a number of metrics, including average connection speeds and broadband penetration. As the FCC is set to announce its first official national broadband policy in March, this underscores how horribly slow we really are. Now, let me give you an example here of countries that are faster than us. Oh, we're ranked 35th. Number one is Korea. Number two looks to be, oh boy, is that Germany? I don't know. I can't. They've got a real small map here. Number three is Japan. A whole bunch of European countries are right in the middle, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yet we're 35th is in broadband average speed, being at 3.9 megs per second as an average, as measured by Akamai. Now, the reason Akamai could measure this is because Akamai has really hundreds, maybe even thousands of servers spread out across the entire United States and even the world, where when someone is actually downloading a video, they can measure that speed. Now, surprisingly, they have, within the United States, they show Hawaii is the 7th fastest. That can't be right. Of course, the Eastern Seaboard is really right up there in the top. All the states right there, Maine, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New York, all those states are the fastest. And then the only really competitor out in the pack is Nevada at 9. But here we are. Isn't that horrible? We're, you know, that just shows you how much we've really slipped behind the power curve here. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. This was an article over on Ars Technica, and they linked to all these different study results by Akamai. All right, Microsoft has a plan to improve Bing's poor indexing. People are complaining about sites not being re-indexed quick enough and new sites that have come on not being added. Big backlog. They actually have a forums, a place in their forum where people can complain about this, and Microsoft will actually look at it. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. I don't know if you guys are following the stuff on Bing very much at all. But if you are not listed in Bing, this might be a great place or a great opportunity to get your site indexed. All right, after cutting unlimited plan pricing, AT&T axes the nation 1350 plan for the iPhone. AT&T has rolled out new prices for unlimited voice and data plan for the iPhone. The old package cost subscribers $130 a month. That's the one I'm on. Now, it's the new unlimited voice and data plan costs $100 a month, and this is done specifically in response to Verizon lowering their prices. So now AT&T offers three new plans for iPhone subscribers. In addition to the newly priced $100 a month unlimited voice and data plan, iPhone users can opt for a $90 a month Nation 900 plan. It's 900 minutes with rollover minutes plus unlimited data. And a $70 a month Nation 450 plan. That's 450 minutes with rollover minutes plus unlimited data. So if you're really at the time where you can renegotiate your contract, this may be a good time to call AT&T. I don't know if you can just call them and get the new rate, or do you have to sign up for 2 years? But for those of you that are on limited plan, $30, that would pay for itself. Let's see, 33, 67, 20. Yeah, I have to really look at that. But that's a pretty significant price drop there. Okay, over on TechDirt. If you live in Sweden, and I know we have a number of listeners that do. Of course, we have listeners from 160 different countries that tune into the show. And if you're in Sweden and one of our listeners over there, I'd like to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com or on the voicemail hotline at +1 619 342 7365. But since the Swedish internet, it's called the IPRED, and I don't have what the definition of that is, but apparently it was a law that basically said that Swedish ISPs were to hand over info on those accused of copyright infringement. Since that law has went into effect, many ISPs have begun questioning the legality of the law itself, specifically noting that the law clearly conflicts with privacy laws already in place in Sweden, as well as a wider European Union privacy rules. So what we've seen here is that the ISPs are standing up saying, no, this is unconstitutional. You're not supposed to do this. So there's a big battle going on right now from ISPs basically saying, no, we're not going to give up this data. So if you're in Sweden, you're listening to the show, love to hear what you think about this IPRED law and what you're hearing on the local scene there on them, the Swedish ISPs basically saying no. And you got to hand it to the folks in Sweden for doing that, because they're pretty big on privacy. You know, Swiss banks and everything else, they're pretty big. So we'll see what happens here and see if they roll over or if they basically can get this shut down. Love to hear feedback from any of our listeners in Sweden. Okay, entertainment industry explains how true net neutrality is just another word for theft. You guys knew, this just continues on and on and on. This a filing from the FCC is taking filings on proposed new net neutrality rules. And lots of filings are going in. The MPAA has sent one in, but the latest one by the Songwriters Guild of America, who up to this point has also been running around screaming that network neutrality is basically would mean more unauthorized file sharing. The language used by the SJ, I'm going to read this directly from TechDirt, goes on to say that the language used by the SJ goes even beyond that of others, referring to things like rampant looting and insisting that with net neutrality, we would face the end of songwriting. This is what they really put in their me paraphrasing here. This is what they really put in their filing. While the SGA goes on to claim that it wants to promote new innovation and technology, it appears to only mean technology that can be used to block file sharing. It's very excited about those technologies and not all concerned about all the technologies, even the one used by folks every day that would be broken without net neutrality. So, again, here we have the old guard is screaming bloody neutrality. I have this link up, of course, in the show notes to a Tech Dirt Readerful article. All right, Apple tablet iPhone 4 launch confirmed for January 27th. This is being reported Fox News by New York Times. Apple has essentially indicated that this is going to happen. So we're going to see this tablet appears on January 27th, plus whatever else they may announce. Okay, the Xbox. Boy, how many of you have an Xbox? I know that we do not. My son had, we've got a Wii in the house and a PlayStation 2. What is the current version? PlayStation 3. But executives at Microsoft have basically come out, you know, repositioning the Xbox as more of a live cable channel. They're trying to reposition the Xbox to be not seen merely as a gaming machine, but as, and I like how they say, gaming machine for teenagers. I know a lot of adults that use the Xbox. Probably more adults using Xbox than teenagers. I don't think New York Times should have paraphrased it that way, but they want the Xbox to not be seen, to be seen not merely as a gaming machine for teenagers, but as a media portable for parents and grandparents too. The company is even producing shows for user. It is in the middle of the second season of One Versus 100, an active version of the game show that was on NBC. So, all right, those of you that have an Xbox, get me filled in. What kind of content here? Now, the folks at ESPN and Walt Disney are working together to do a programming deal where you'll actually be able to get sports and watch Walt Disney channels right on your Xbox. So, again, we've seen with the Roku box, with Netflix being on the boxy, being on all these new devices, where really things are happening. You know, Xbox Live can surf Facebook now. Now they also they can watch Netflix as well. Same as the Sony PlayStation, which can tune into BBC and weather channels. You know, Netflix is really getting into all these devices, but I want Geek News Central on all these devices. Now, we're in the Roku, we're in the TiVo. We're heard today that we've been approved for the Boxy. So you'll be able to find Geek News Central and all the tech podcast content on those devices as well. I guess I should talk about this now. I should have talked about this at the beginning of the show. We're going to be launching techpodcast.tv, and it is going to be a select group of podcasters that are members of the techpodcast.com community who will be putting their content on the techpodcast.tv website. It's not live yet, unless Angelo has got it active and not told me that it was hidden behind a firewall. But this is kind of a quick reaction site that we're building, and it's basically going to come out to several iterations. The first version of it will be a WordPress site that's themed for video. I guess you can call it the YouTube for tech is what we're planning on kind of making it look like. But we're definitely looking for additional content creators to put content on techpodcast.tv. So, while we have a great lineup of shows over at techpodcast.com, not all the shows over there create video content. So if you know of someone, or if you've been thinking about maybe launching a tech show, we're definitely looking for talent. We're also looking for additional talent in other categories. So if you are creating content or considering creating content, we are definitely going to be launching a number of video-only channels this year, in addition to all the other great stuff we're doing. So our plan is to make sure all these all these sites are on all these different devices. Again, it's as you guys have been watching this show for a while and listening to the show, you guys know my master plan is to really ramp up the video side. Obviously, here I'm on the road. I'm using my VidBlaster software to transmit tonight. I'm only on a single camera tonight, a single Logitech webcam. I'll be improving through the year my on the show video capability, as well as you guys know what already is in place in Hawaii. So we understand that all of these, company, Sony, on the Sony Wii, the Xbox, PlayStation, all these different devices, you know, they already have a big foothold in many people's homes, and because of, you know, most everyone owns one form of gaming box or another. You know, the last thing really you want to do is go out and have to buy a Roku box or a new NUU, it's a new box that's coming out, or a Boxy. You know, if you get all this content on your Xbox, you know, Microsoft and Sony and those folks would have a big winner here. And I think it's a smart move because the home penetration is pretty high on this already. So what that will do really is just make it easier for all of you to watch this and other great content that's on the web. So I'm excited about it. I think you should be as well. Makes me want to go out and buy an Xbox. But one thing we are going to be doing at techpodcast.tv when we launch, a couple of the shows have decided to give away, we're going to have a monthly giveaway prizes over there where we're going to be giving away devices that will allow you to watch the content on your big screen and use your remote control. So we're excited about introducing that. And I'll, of course, have a big announcement about that when we do. But I know Angela's been busy skinning the site up, and I'm excited to see it go live. Okay, you guys have been quiet on my commentary about all this stuff. I'd love to know what you guys think about where we're going with online TV entertainment. Have you bought a Roku box? Have you got a Boxy? Do you have any other IPT device where you're watching this show or other shows like it on there? Where are you guys at in the consumption mode? Are you, I know you're primarily listening to the show. But are you even watching at any time on any of the other channels? Love to hear your feedback. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com. Information from Google talking about their China attacks. In other words, attacks on their China network. Google has investigated whether one or more of employees at Google may have helped facilitate a cyber attack that the U.S. search giant said it was victim of in mid-December. Oh boy, if this was an inside job, stand by. But very well could have been. Maybe the Chinese government came and put the screws on, you know, one of the employees and said, you will do this or we'll take your family away. Well, they live in China after all, right? Okay. It's been pretty much ruled out that if Apple comes out with a tablet, it will not be an OLED or an AMOLED display. And the reason for that is there was we report on this show that there was a run or there was all 10-inch OLED screens were sold out. And what really is the truth is with this recent rumor is that there's no, and of course this came from an industry representative, said that there's essentially no real production of the 10.1-inch panels for anyone to hoard. If anyone were to produce a 10.1-inch panel, then it would have to be for a specific order. I haven't seen any of the OLED suppliers comment to that yet. Young said, hypothetically, of the 10.1-inch panel production run. So this guy told Ars Technica that the 10.1-inch AMOLED displays are not similar to the 13.3-inch or 14-inch LCDs, which are available from multiple sources. Rather, that the AMOLED displays in volume are only available from Samsung, and Samsung, it seems, isn't a possible candidate on the iTablet AMOLED panel. So that just gives you a little bit of an info there. And I must admit, the Samsung AMOLED panels that we saw were pretty cool. We're going to have a video coming up where there was actually a see-through AMOLED tablet display prototype that was pretty awesome. We'll have that up in a video here in a few days at Geek News Central. All right, now, when you put something on Twitter, you should be very careful on how you actually write what you put on Twitter. A Twitter joke led to a Terror Act arrest and an airport ban. And he also was suspended by his employer after his interrogation by the feds. Apparently, this guy was supposed to fly on a day when there was heavy snowfall. And they canceled the flight. And here's what he said on Twitter. Robin Hood Airport is closed, he wrote. You've got a week and a bit to get your shit Otherwise, I'm blowing the airport sky high. Can you believe he put that on Twitter? Did he not think that he was going to get arrested. After a week of posting a message on the social networking site, he was arrested under the Terrorism Act and questioned for almost 7 hours by detectives who interpreted his post as a security threat. After he was released on bail, he was suspended from work pending an internal investigation, said he's been banned from the Doncaster Airport for life. He goes on to say, I would never have thought in 1,000 years that any of this would have happened because of a Twitter post, said Mr. Chambers, 26. I'm the most mild-mannered guy you could imagine. Woo. Now, he was actually in the UK when he made this comment. he's going to be very disappointed when he cannot fly to Ireland, and that's where he was commenting upon. Oh, boy. Well, you know, dumber and dumber, right? You just don't make threats online like that, not in this day and age, not the way things are going. Okay, Foursquare not flattered by the Yelp check-ins. How many of you have the Foursquare plug-in? I know I have the Yelp plug-in installed on my iPhone, and I know I got an update for it. And, you know, you can check in when you go into a business, and basically, you know, you can make a comment about what's good here and so forth. Well, it looks like the folks at Yelp, and if you look at the two designs, they didn't go through and do too much changing to the interface, because the one on Yelp and the one on Foursquare, or the one on Foursquare, which was the original one, looks pretty similar to the one on Yelp, and the folks at Foursquare are none too pleased. So we'll see what happens here, but it looks like a ripoff, potential ripoff of their design. So have that linked up in the show notes. It was over on TechCrunch. Hey, Revision 3 got a chance to catch up with Jim Lauterbach when I was in Vegas. Him and I had a great discussion. We had a couple of other side discussions. The Revision 3 team was there doing coverage for CES. I know Hack5 was recording some stuff. You know, they got a great team. They got a great set of folks that are dedicated to editing video. Really, they're putting out a lot of great content. It shows you what lots of venture capital will do. But they posted a blog post on their website today. It's an open letter to Conan and Brian. Of course, we all know that listening, that there's a little bit of Conan's about ready to lose his spot back to he's about ready to lose the night show. Okay. I'm pulling a brain fart on who I'm trying to think of. I guess he's not that important, right? Owns a lot of cars. He's on the 1030. Oh, man. Jay Leno. Okay. Don. Ding. Finally came to light here. But anyway, the open letter from Revision 3 says, hey, I'm taking this opportunity to officially offer you a brand new show of your choosing here at Revision 3. Rest assured, you'll be able to bring your set, band, and even Andy, especially Andy, with you as transition to our cutting-edge online TV network. We have room for, I can't say what this is, this show, FedEx, Pope, and even mini Jay Leno here on the internet. Have you seen the internet lately? It's huge, so this is kind of funny. And, you know, this is done in jitter, but at the end they said, hey, here's some of our benefits. Fantastic creative and supportive working environment. No network sensors. Top-notch ad sales team monetizing your show. Complimentary broadband. Competitive salary. And in parentheses it says, you're going to have more money than Oprah from NBC, so what do you care? Manage social media strategy. Building a dedicated audience around your show. Decent benefits. Call me anytime, day or night. Now, would that be the ultimate coup for Revision 3 to get Conan? Hey, Jim, this was actually written by Ryan Vance. But, Jim, you know, if you get Conan, you know, if you get him as a record, I'll buy you a big fat steak dinner. That would be a major coup. I'm going to tell you, I will take you out to dinner. There in the valley, it'll be on me if you are able to sign Conan O'Brien. That would be big. So you know you gotta give Revision 3 some chops there for being essentially very creative. Now, we'll see what mileage they get out of it. Okay, as I said earlier in the show, Verizon has reduced their wireless pricing. AT&T has made some adjustments. If you want to know what really has changed on all pricing across all carriers, there's an Ultimate Phone plan comparison page. I'll have that linked up to you on over at billshrink.com. Let me look at the time here. My recorder is covered up. Oh, I got to hurry. So we'll keep you advised on that. Again, you can go look at all the rate comparisons. Have it linked up to you in the show notes. Hey, over on MozillaZine.org on Asa Dolzer's website, he goes into talking about how the French have agreed with the Germans, and in that the just a few days after the German government warned off Internet Explorer to its users, the French government has done the same, basically saying they're recommending people use a different browser than IE. So not good news for Microsoft. Got a couple of more things here. Found a cool thing on Engadget. It's called the Bear Extender N3. Grabs Wi-Fi from afar. It's basically a Wi-Fi extender device. It's bigger than the gal's laptop, it almost looks like. If you want to get dorky on a campus or you want to get dorky somewhere with a Wi-Fi extender, I got to have one of these myself. I see this thing. It's going to be cool. I got to own one. I'll buy one. Just because I'm a geek, I have to. So it's called the Bear Extender N3. Along with that, Verizon has unveiled new Fios bundles with symmetrical 35 megabits per second with heftier, basically ETFs. In other words, if you want to cancel your service. But the ETF now is going to be $360 if you want to break your contract. But this new 35 megs up and down symmetrical service is going to be a boon to those of us that... Why can't I have Fios? It's going to be $110 a month with a triple play TV, internet, phone. Wow. 35 meg up or down? That's worth moving away from Hawaii. Just makes me sick. Verizon, come to Hawaii, please. Or if you have a Novotel MiFi device, beware, there's a hack out there that'll give access to anyone that's near you that has the basically little software utility. Your device can get hacked. I'll have that link up in the show notes. I got a couple of articles here on smart energy kits that's going in homes in the UK, and hopefully this will start rolling out here in the United States. A couple of cool iPhone apps for you to review. And also, just got a link here that should all make us continue to remember what's going on in Haiti. You know, the businesses are being set up in Haiti to actually recharge people's cell phones in the devastated, ravaged Port-au-Prince, and it's a pretty bizarre picture. It just shows a guy that's taking money to get people's cell phones charged, and it's nothing more than outlets that have been wired together haphazardly, and looks like someone's due to get electrocuted. But business will rule no matter where you're at and what the opportunity is, but just goes to granted that those of us that are here, I'm running on full power tonight, not having to worry about anything. Just keep, if you haven't donated to a specific cause for Haiti yet, please consider doing so. All right, here's the bust of the week. Lexicon, they introduced a $3,500 Blu-ray player. Looks pretty fancy on the front. Nice little control. Supposed to have advanced features. Well, oops. What they did was the Lexicon BD30 is a 3500 TX certified Blu-ray player. Unfortunately, aside from slight rebranding, it's also a $500 OPPO OPPO BDP83 chassis and all. The guts, everything inside is exactly the same. No reprogramming of the software. It is exactly the same Blu-ray player with just a different case, different faceplate on it. And the price difference is $3,500 for it, $500 for the OPPO. So, wow. Wow. And actually, a move like this by a company should be should cause all of you to really consider doing any business with Lexicon. Now, who would ever buy a $3,500 Blu-ray player? I don't know. But if you did buy one, I would be screaming bloody murder. Because you just paid 700% premium on a Blu-ray player that was available for $500 with another company. Just shocking. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the comments, the audio comments here. I have one voicemail, and then I'll get into the email. Again, if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Ben Straw from Ben's Tech Show and MacTip Podcast. I was just listening to episode 543, and you had comments about Comcast and their modem and stuff like that. I had problems with them a while back, a three-month problem. They had sent something to me saying that they had upgraded their system, and they didn't. With the DOCSIS 3.0, and I called them on that, and they fixed it, and then problems occurred right after that. So luckily Comcast fixed it, and I know my listeners, they know me, and I don't like Comcast, and whatever. Use ManyCam on the Mac for your problem with the color in hotels. It brings up the color and makes everything brighter. You're also able to switch to the desktop if need be. Looking at my notes here. Oh, your audio was great. I didn't really hear any difference in the audio, so just great. You also said you're going to be in Chicago in February, I believe. Let me know if you're going to do a meetup. I would certainly like to meet you at in Chicago. So also, I had a terrible time with the BlackBerry because apparently I did not have your number programmed into my phone, but I did. I don't know how or why it got deleted, but the media player for BlackBerry is just awful. I had to rewind like four or five times just to figure out where in the podcast you had said your voicemail number, so it likes to jump. Instead of a normal fast forward, it just jumps certain sections. It's horrible. So that's it. All right. Thank you, Todd, and you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the call and a whole bunch of stuff there. What app are you using on the BlackBerry to listen to the show? That's kind of my curiosity, so I can go in and actually have some folks with BlackBerry do some testing. Also, as far as Chicago goes, we're going to be staying downtown. My team is, and what we do is every winter or every spring, we have we call it a retreat. And we go somewhere that, for a better word, there's a lot to do in Chicago. We're going to be right down on the Magnificent Mile, staying at a hotel there. But it's really our working weekend. It's where we come in and we sequester ourselves for an entire weekend. We get in Friday. We work all the way through Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We come up with our game plan on what we're going to be doing for the coming year and lay out all our projects and priorities and so forth. And, you know, meeting those are a completely different thing. But the plan is really to kind of have it's going to be a private raw voice affair. I'm not going to have any meetups. Just will not work in the schedule. I get in Friday morning, and then I fly out of O'Hare on Monday. Again, we have to dedicate. This is the one time, or we do this twice a year. It's our time to have the team all come together. As you know, Raw Voice. Barry's in Michigan. Angelo, our main man behind all the programming code, he's in Ohio. Brian, who does all the graphic works, he's in Colorado. Jeff is our content director. He's in Manhattan, in New York. Of course, I'm out in Hawaii. So really, it's our way of working together as a team and getting together and really, you know, face-to-face type stuff that we can't accomplish otherwise throughout the year during conference calls, go-to-meeting sessions, and so forth. So probably no meetup this time around, but I am going to be doing a couple more trips to Chicago this year. So as soon as I have one that I'm able to free up some evening time, I'll definitely do a meetup. If I talk the guys into having one night for a couple of hours at a restaurant or something where people come in, that might be cool, but I'll have to clear it with a team first. But thanks for the voicemail. Thanks for your call on that. And again, if anybody has calls on comments about the show, 619-342-7365. Got an email here from Jeff, longtime listener of the show. Jeff is was injured by a gunshot accident earlier. Actually, not really an accident, but a gun shooting a number of years ago. And a longtime listener of the show, he said, "Hey, Todd, you need to find a way to get credit from iTunes downloads so when listeners get your podcast from somewhere else. That's important, right?" Jeff, don't worry. We get credit for everything that's played, downloaded, or viewed. I'm not worried of, if it's seen on the website or if it's downloaded by any other player, we get credit for all that. We measure that through our stat system. So don't worry. We're measuring all this stuff. So because it's, this is how we get paid on our advertising, is by views and so forth. So don't worry, we're measuring all that. He goes also on to say, "Hey, Todd, the reason a lot of us don't go back and download all podcasts on iTunes because we have it on our phone and it takes up memory on the computer. Maybe suggest people download them onto a USB drive or second hard drive to help get credit and save memory space on C drive." So anyway, again, Jeff, I think for the most part, memory today and hard drive costs are so low, I don't think that the majority of people have room with, because they're basically, there's a queue. You don't have to keep all the older downloaded shows. Once you've downloaded and listened to them, delete them, That's kind of common sense for how stuff goes. No sense in keeping all those old shows around and wasting storage space. He got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, "Hey, network flaw causes scary web error." He says, "A Georgia mother and two daughters logged into Facebook from a mobile phone last weekend and wound up in a starting place on a stranger's account with full access to troves of private information. The glitch, the result of a routing program at the family's wet wireless carrier, AT&T, revealed a little-known security flaw with far-reaching implications for everyone on the Internet, just Facebook users. Basically, the Internet lost track of who was who, putting the woman into the wrong account. It doesn't appear the users could have done anything to stop it. The problem adds a dimension to researchers' warnings that there are many ways online information from mundane data and dark secrets can go awry. So be careful what you're putting online. You'll never know who gets access to it." Got an email from Rachel. She goes on to say, "Hey, Todd, just another take on the cable versus Internet question from Mark Cuban I thought you might find interesting. It's going to be cheaper to have the big traditional cable distributors offer your content to viewers than it will to be reach a large audience on the net. That's for a one-time offering. If you plan on doing it more than once on a regular scheduled basis, there is no question it's cheaper to do it this way, and the picture will be dramatically better. In fact, it is probably a great business opportunity for satellite, telco, and cable companies. Open up times to bid to offer content over their networks. You want channel 1020 on DirecTV? It's X dollars per hour, minimum of the best prices bid. Here's how you provide your content to us. You can buy marketing from us as well. DirecTV, Dish, Comcast could make a boatload of extra money offering the service." So that's kind of cool. And this was on Blog Maverick's post, "Think the Internet Replaced Cable, Think Again." Very good one, Rachel. Thanks for writing and thanks for commenting on this. It's an idea. I've always considered what would happen if I bought time, but I can't imagine how much buying time would cost. And I don't know if I covered this on the last show. "I test that spots Alzheimer's 20 years before symptoms." I have this link up in the show notes. And I think I covered all this already. So I think that was all. Very few emails this time. Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the voicemail hotline at +1 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you tonight's show here from, warm Jacksonville, Florida. And we'll be here for another 2 weeks. And hope all of you will tune in for my live stream, which will be coming on between 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while I'm out here. Just basically tune into the Geek News Central website, watch me on Twitter, Facebook, etc. for the announcement, and come and join the show live from time to time. As always, it's been my pleasure, and thanks to the sponsor of the show. And, of course, if you have any comments tonight, geeknews@gmail.com, and drop me a line. And I guess until the follow-on show on Thursday night when we record it, everyone take care, and aloha.